Okay, so I'm standing in today for Larry. We're in the middle of the Mishnah. We saw the Mishnah that deals with those who are considered kroivim. We're not going to go through the whole list again, but suffice to say, we saw nine cases, which then became 27 cases because each one of them refers also to their children and their son-in-law. Now, the only exception was the last case that we saw, and that was Chorgoy. Chorgoy is a stepson. A stepson is posel eidos, but that does not stretch to his children and children-in-law. All of these halachas, by the way, we will see, obviously, the Gemara will discuss what exactly is the source. That was all the first opinion in the Mishnah. The second opinion in the Mishnah is that it depends on Yerusha, which obviously would essentially require us to learn all of Hilchos Yerusha. But al kaponim, that is the rule. Somebody who is ra'u liyerusha, what does that mean, ra'u liyerusha? Ra'u liyerusha means a potential inheritor. It doesn't mean that they are practically going to inherit. So, for example, we know if somebody passes away, that the first inheritors are the children. If there are no children, then it would go elsewhere, for example, to the brothers. The brothers are still considered, for purposes of our Mishnah, potential inheritors, even if there are children. Because were there not to be children, then they would be the next in line. So all of those who are ra'u means they would potentially inherit, whether they're first in line, second in line, third in line, even if practically they're not going to inherit because there are actually others who are further ahead in line. Nonetheless, they're considered potential inheritors. So now let's have a look at the Gemara and the Mishnah. We're exactly halfway through the Mishnah. V'chol ha'korov loy. The first word on the line is hara'u, hara'u liyarashay. And it says in the middle of that line, v'chol ha'korov loy ba'oisei shor. This we saw as well. Anybody who is related at that time, which time? So Rashi explained to us either at the time about which they are testifying or at the time that they show up in Beis Din. We don't require them to be related necessarily at both times. It suffices if they were related at the time of the event or at the time they show up in Beis Din. Either way, they are disqualified from Eidus. However, hoya korov v'nisrachik, if they were related but then they became distanced, what does it mean they became distanced? When? Not before they showed up in Beis Din. As we already said, if they were related at the time of the event, that also invalidates them. So clearly, when it says that they became distanced, it means distance before the initial event. So somebody would not be allowed to testify, for example, about his wife's brother. That's one of the psulim we saw. But once the wife passes away, even though they used to be related, these two brothers-in-law are not, for purposes of Eidos, they're not considered anymore related. So if the wife passed away in between the event and the Beis Din, then indeed he'll be posel. Because who are you testifying about? You're testifying about somebody who at the time was related. Or the other way around. If at the time of the event they were not related, but at the time of the Beis Din, he's just now married your sister, at the time that you are now testifying in Beis Din, he's related. So either of those two would make you posel. But if he used to be related, he was a brother-in-law 5 years ago, but then his wife passed away, which means that these two ex-brothers-in-law are no longer considered, for purposes of Eidos, brothers-in-law. Now there was an event in which this Reuven accuses Shimon of, for example, Chilul Shabbos, and now he comes to Beis Din. So because neither at the time of the event nor at the time of the Eidos in Beis Din are they related, then he is kosher le'Eidos, even though once upon a time, 5 years ago, They were related. Says the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, Afilu Meisa Bitoi, Veyeshloi Bonim Mimeno. Even if his daughter passed away, but he has children from that daughter, meaning he's got grandchildren, but the daughter through whom the grandchildren arrived, that daughter is no longer alive. Harezer Korov, that would still be considered a Korov. So what case is that referring to? I presume it means, correct, it's referring to a son-in-law. So if somebody's daughter marries a particular individual, that individual is the son-in-law, posseleidos. If the daughter then dies, well, then they're no longer related. But if she left over children, by virtue of the fact that the children remain behind, that, as it were, keeps, that retains the relationship to one son-in-law, and they would still be considered posseleidos. Says the Mishnah in conclusion, Ha'oyev v'hasoine, somebody that one loves, somebody that one hates, are both considered psulim for edus. What is an oyev and what is a soine? Says the Mishnah, oyev ze shushbinoi. What is a shushbinoi? Shushbin is somebody who walks you to the chuppah. Last week, I was actually zeicher to walk somebody to the chuppah. Bocho, whom I have a very close relationship with, his parents are divorced, so I walked him to the chuppah. So on Sunday night, I attended his Sheva Brochas, and I had to speak there, and I said, according to this Mishnah, the chosen has pustled me for Edus. Meforosh Mishnah, we considered an oyev. How long for? So look at Rashi. Rashi's right at the end of the narrow lines. Shushpinoi posoloi bimei chuposoi. What does that mean, bimei chuposoi? Presumably that means all the days of the Sheva Brochas. It can't mean just on the day of the chuppah, because then Rashi wouldn't call it bimei on the days, Lashon Rabim. Rashi would say biyoim chuposoi. So bimei chuposoi presumably means for the whole Sheva Brochas. And that's what I said in his drasha, that I love the chasen very much, but so much so that I've just become posel edus. Nonetheless, I said I'd like to speak about the chasen, but either way, I'm posel edus. I'm posel edus. So
Rabbi,
yes.
I was thinking that pragmatically, the reason the son-in-law is posel, if there are grandchildren, is because he has a Yerusha interest. Because if the guy,
okay, we'll see. We'll see more about this in the Gemara. Okay,
because these are his children, so now he has an interest that the guy shouldn't be broke.
We'll see all about this in the Gemara. Says the Mishnah, that's an oyev. What's a soine? Kol shaloi diber imoy shloi shayomim be'eva. Anybody to whom you have not spoken for 3 days in a row out of anger or hatred. There are many people that we don't necessarily speak to for 3 days in a row, but that's just because practically we haven't met them. Or we have no need to reach out to them. But if there's somebody that I could have, and maybe did meet, but I have not spoken to him as a matter of opinion out of Eivo, that's considered a sin. Oh, Malay. So they said to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda was one who was saying these halachas, that no, Loi nechshedu Yisrael al-kach. Yisrael are not suspect for this. What does that mean? Have a look at the last Rashi in the Mishnah. Loi nechshedu Yisrael al-kach lohoid sheke. They are not considered suspect to testify falsely mishum eva v'ahavo. Chidush. When it comes to a relative, then yes, indeed, they are suspect. We'll see, it's all learned from Psukim. But somebody who's not a relative, it's just that I have either a very strained relationship or, to the contrary, a loving relationship. Even though Rabbi Yehuda says you're posel eidos, the second opinion says, no, Klal Yisrael are not suspect. Even though you might be very friendly with this person, or to the contrary, very unfriendly with this person, that's not enough grounds to raise suspicion that he will give false testimony. Now, Rashi makes a very important addition.
Their puzzle for Adis forever, or is it a limited time?
According to the first opinion.
Right, the first opinion.
Right, so again, Oyavoy, we said he's only possible during the days of the Sheva Brachos. And Soine, presumably, as long as he's on bad terms with him. If he's made up with him, then once again, it'll be kosher ladies. Says Rashi, an important addition. V'dafka be'edus pligi. This machlokes between Rabbi Yehuda and the second opinion about whether an oyev or a soine are kosher le'edus refers only to Eidos. This is a machloikas concerning Eidos. Aval bedin, underline the word bedin. When it comes to din, remember, whenever we talk about psulim, we always must compare or distinguish, but we have to speak about both edim and dayonim. The list that we mentioned in the Mishnah about relatives, brother-in-law, and uncle, and etc., it's true. It's all talking about Eidos, but it's also talking about Dayonim. You cannot be a Dayon on the Beis Din if the person being accused is a relative of yours. So Rashi says the Machloikas in the Mishnah with regard to an Oyhev and a Soine is only a machlokes regarding Eidos. Says Rashi, Aval bedin, moidulei rabbonon, the posel loy lodun. The rabbonon would agree to Rabbi Yehuda. It's true we disagree with Rabbi Yehuda with regard to Eidos, because loy nechshadu. But with regard to a din, a dayon cannot judge an oyev or a soine. Cannot judge an oyev or a soine, the kiven the soni lay, because seeing as he hates him, loy motzi, he will not be able lahafuche to turn bizchuse to any type of merit. Remember, the judge's function is, having heard all the edus, now to find either a zchus or a choiv, whatever it may be. He will be incapable of finding a zchus for somebody that he hates. And presumably, Rashi means also somebody that he loves. Again, we will see more about this in the Mishnah, which means, therefore, the whole Mishnah is talking about Eidos and also Dayonus, except the last line in the Mishnah. With regard to an Oyev and a Soine, there's a Machlokes, but that refers only to Eidos. But with regard to Dayonus, all parties agree, even Rabbonon, that you'll be possible. Now, all of these Rabboisai are headlines. There is a lengthy sugya, which will take us all the way to the Chof Tes Amud Aleph, in which we will examine all of the Mishnah. So let's begin straight away. Says the Gemara, Mino Hanamili. Mino Hanamili. Now, we have a very, very important rule, which we have mentioned in the past, and here is a classic case in point, and it's a very important rule to remember. Whenever the Mishnah offers me a whole long list of halachas, like our Mishnah, and then the Gemara begins by saying, Mino Hanamili, which means, where do we learn it from? It's automatically referring to the first halacha of the Mishnah. Very, very important. Otherwise, we might well be confused. Mino Hanamili, where do we learn this from? Where do we learn what from? We just learned 20 halachas in the Mishnah. So we must be referring first and foremost to the first halacha of the Mishnah. The first halacha of the Mishnah, if you remember, let's read those words again. Ve'elu ha'krovin, ochiv. We're talking about the brothers. Reuven and Shimon, who are two brothers, cannot testify against each other. Then we moved on to brothers of one's parents as well. Remember, we put all those three in one category, brothers, either of yourself or of your parents. So it's either brothers or uncles. So look in the Gemara now. Says the Gemara, Minoh Hanamili. How do we know? Where is the Torah source for this halacha that brothers cannot testify against each other? Now, we have to read the Gemara very carefully. This could be a little bit tricky, but Rashi helps us out. Minoh Hanamili. The Tana Rabbanon, we have a braisa. There's a pasuk, Loi Yumsu Avois Albonim. Let's translate literally. Fathers will not die for their children. Now, this is a little bit strange. Why is it a little bit strange? We just said that the Minoh Hanamili must be referring to the very first case of the Mishnah. The very first case of the Mishnah was what? Brothers. And the Gemara has now brought me a pasuk that doesn't seem to make any mention of brothers, talks about fathers and sons. So have a look immediately at the first Rashi on the Gemara. Says Rashi, Lo yumsu shnei avos, two fathers. We'll have to work out what this means, but don't forget the Loshon of the Pasuk was avos, fathers in the plural. So Lo yumsu shnei avos, two fathers cannot die be'edus b'neihem, with a testimony of their sons. Period. So Rashi has already helped us out in part, just for the moment, in translation of this pasuk. What does it mean that fathers will not die for the children? Why should they die for the children? What does it mean? So Rashi explains it means as a result of the testimony of the children. That's what's being referred to. So for this pasuk can really be reworded. Fathers cannot die as a result of the testimony of the children, which is, of course, another way of saying that children cannot testify against the father. If you remember when we learned the Mishnah, we said the traffic always goes in both directions. So I don't need to bring a separate posuk. If children cannot testify against the father, obviously father cannot testify against the children. Now, the question must be immediately asked, what's this got to do with brothers? The Pasuk L'chaira is not talking about brothers. The Pasuk talks about fathers and children. Says Rashi, Va'al korchov. We are forced to say that Hani Shnei, these two avos, quote unquote, who are the avos mentioned in the Pasuk? Be'achin komishtoi. They are talking about brothers. Even though it says the word ovos, it cannot be translated literally. It cannot possibly be fathers. It must be achim. Shehein kroivin min hakoil, because they are the nearest relatives. Now, one second. Who is the closest relative to a person? Obviously, his father or son. The next closest relative is the brother. So if for some reason, and Rashi will explain, if for some reason this word avos is not to be translated literally, it cannot be referring to father, then who is the next closest person? Brother. Well, therefore, it must be referring to a brother. How indeed do I know that it does not refer to a father and son? Now Rashi explains. De ba'av u'benoi loy motzi lemeimar. We cannot possibly say that the Torah is to be translated literally and is referring to a father and son. It can't be. Why can't it be? De imkein, because if so, loy have a kari lohu, the Torah would never have called it, quote unquote, a voice, quote unquote, in the plural. d'chad av v'chad ben sagi. Because there is one father, and it would have been sufficient to talk about one father and one son. A person doesn't have two fathers. So if the Torah was coming to tell me that a father and a son are posel eidos, why does it write it in the plural? It could have just said, Lo yumos av al ben. Why does it say it in the plural of vos al bonim? So the fact that the Torah speaks in the plural when it didn't need to is a hint in the Torah that this pasuk is not to be translated literally. It cannot be referring to a father and son. Who is the next closest relative in line? The brothers. Okay, so this pasuk is referring to brothers. When it says avos al bonim, it's not to be translated as fathers to sons, rather it's brothers to each other. Rashi concludes, ulekamon, and later on, mefarish kulei mineh. We're going to learn all of the psulim from this pasuk. We're going to see it's an incredible drasha, but it's all learned from one pasuk. So now, again, the Gemara asked a question, mino halamili, how do you know that they are pasul? Which case? As we said, it must be referring to the first case of the Mishnah, which is brothers. What is the pasuk that the Gemara brings? La yumsu avos al bonim, which is rather strange because that pasuk lechayra is not talking bichlal about brothers. It just mentions fathers and children. Okay, well now we have seen the answer to that question. Rashi has answered our question that even though it's true, the literal translation is indeed fathers and sons, but we know that we cannot translate literally. Had the pasuk wanted to tell you the literal translation, there would be no reason whatsoever to teach it to me in the plural. And the fact that it is in the plural is a clear proof that we are not referring to avos and bonim. We are referring to the next closest relative, which is brothers. So there we have it. It's a pasuk that mentions fathers and sons, but it's referring to brothers. What about all the other case? Okay, Rashi says we'll see. The Gemara will explain all the other cases as well.
Rabbi, if it, why didn't the Torah just say brothers?
Because we're going to learn all the other drashas as well.
Wouldn't it be two brothers that have children, that have sons?
Slowly, slowly. So let's have a look at that Rashi again. Very, very important Rashi. Loi yumsu shnei avos be'edus b'neihem. That is, for the moment, the simple translation. Two fathers must not die. What does it mean they shouldn't die? Meaning, as a result of the testimony of their children. That is the literal translation. Rashi says, va'al korcho, however, you are forced to say that hani shnei avos. These two avos is not literally father, but rather ba'achin komishoi. It must be referring to brothers, shehein krovin min hakol. They are, after all, the closest of all. How do you know it must be referring to that? Maybe it really is a father and son. Can't be. De ba'av u'bnoi lo motzi lemeimar, because we cannot say it's referring to a father and son. The imkei lo yava kore luhu avos, because it never would have called him avos. The bechad av bechad ben sagi. If you want to teach me father and son, say it all in the singular. Don't say avos al bonim. Say avu ben. Ulekamon mefarish kuloi minei, says Rashi. Don't worry. All the other halachas are all going to be learned from this pasuk. Just wait. Hang on in there. So now let's have a look back into the Gemara.
Rabbi, just a quick question. I feel like going from Avos to Achim is such a big jump. If
Why
I
would
was
it be so
trying to
different?
exp
What's the
if I
smaller
was
jump?
trying to explain Avos, I would say maybe Avos is maybe the includes a grandfather,
Okay,
because
so
now
it's
that's Avos, or
right,
maybe
okay.
that's where I can learn Chogo from, is from
Okay, very
Avos.
good. Okay, let's go slowly, slowly, slowly. So all of these questions are addressed by the Gemara. Now, Besides for the fact that we have now translated Ovois and Bonim non-literally, that apparently does not refer to a father and children, but rather it refers to brothers, there is another problem. And that is, where do you see in this Pasuk anything about Eidus? When the Pasuk says, Lo yumsu ovois al b'neim, the fathers should not die as a result of the children, who added the word testimony? Maybe it means the fathers will not die as a result of the averas of the children. How do you know it means as a result of the testimony of the children? It's not inherent in the Pasuk. All it says in the Pasuk is the father will not die as a result of the children. As a result of what? Maybe it means as a result of the averas. And this is the Gemara's question.
Maybe it's all inclusive.
Says the Gemara, mi noan emili de ton rabbonon, lo yumsu ovo salbonim, ma talmud loima. What does this come to teach me? Im lelamed, if it's coming to teach me, shaloi yumsu ovois, ba'ovoin, underline, bonim. If you're going to suggest that maybe it means fathers should not die as a result of the sin of their sons, and ubonim ba'ovoin ovois, and in the opposite direction as well, children will not die as a result of the sin of the fathers, if that's what it's referring to, which it could have, says the Gemara, no, it can't be. Hari kvar nema. I already have a pasuk that tells me that. Where's the pasuk that teaches me that? It says, ish bechet oy yumosu, a man will die as a result of his chet. What does that mean? Will die as a result of his chet, and not what? Not the chet of one's father or one's children. Ah, so if that's the case, elo, we are therefore obliged to say that lo yumsu ovei salbonim, quote unquote, must be talking about the eidus, underline, bonim. So therefore, it might not be inherent in the pasuk, but because I have another pasuk that says a person will only die as a result of his chet, so I've already learned this principle that you cannot die as a result of one's children's averas or as a result of one's parents' averas. So therefore, we go back to the original pasuk when it says lo yumsu ovois al bonim. What must that be referring to? Not to the averas ovoin. It must be referring to something else completely. That the father cannot die as a result of the testimony of the children. But averas, even though that's true, but that's a different pasuk. That's not the subject of this pasuk.
Right, but can it be all inclusive?
Why?
Fathers can never cause the death of children, and children can never cause the death of fathers, whether it's Eidus, whether it's Avonos, whether it's this. That's a cloud.
You have no right to learn two chidushim from one pasuk. That's the general rule with no exception. We learn one chidush from one pasuk. Each pasuk has one translation, never two. So ish bechetoy yumosu means as a result of sins, and lo yumsu avosol abonim is as a result of testimony. Says the Gemara, one moment, we're still in trouble. Ubonu. Sorry, did we finish the sentence? Elo lo yumsu ovois al bonim be'edus bonim, ubonim lo yumsu al ovois be'edus ovois. So everything is referring over here to edus, says the Gemara, 1 second. Ubonim ba'ovoin ovois loy, question mark. Children can never die as a result of the avera of parents? Is that true? Voxiv, don't we have a pasuk in the Torah? Poikade ovoin ovois albonim, question mark. We have a Mefurash Pasuk in the Torah that the Avoin of the Avois of the father will be, the Kodesh Baruch Hu will seek retribution from the children. So how can you tell me that there's a general rule that one never dies as a result of the Averas of one's father or one's children? We have a Mefurash Pasuk in the Torah, Poiked Avoin Avois Albonim. Yes, the children will have to be punished for the Averas of the father. Says the Gemara, no, Hosam there is different. Very scary rule. Kusha oichazin, maise avoisehen biadehem. When they are holding the acts, the deeds of their fathers in their hands. What does that mean? It means they're continuing in their ways. If somebody is a tzaddik and his father happens to be a rosha, then the child will not suffer as a result of the father's avirus. But if the father is a rosha and the child chooses to follow that path, that's what he means. He's holding the deeds of his fathers in his hands. He's continuing in that same route. Then indeed he will be punished for the father's maisim as well. Look at Rashi on the bottom line. Yes, Ravon.
But wouldn't he be punished simply because of his own sins, not necessarily because of his father's?
Have a look at this Rashi. V'nifra'in mehen, and payment, retribution will be exacted. Avoinoi sehen, v'avoinavoi sehen, and also the sins of the father. So this is a very scary rule. Can a child ever be punished for a father's averas? And the answer is, it depends. If somebody does averas and the child chooses to follow that path, then he will have to suffer for his father's averas as well. If, however, the father is a rosha, but the child did not choose that path, then he will not have to suffer for the father's averas. And therefore, when we have a pasuk that says, Poiked Avoin Avois Albonim, the averas of the Avois will be exacted from the children as well. That's talking about the specific case that the children choose to follow the path of the father. But otherwise, that's the exception to the rule. But the normal rule is one will not die as a result of the father's averas, nor as a result of the children's averas. Now, this will be backed up by a braisa, which the Gemara is about to bring, but we don't have time to see it. So, Mitzvah Hashem, we'll continue with this tomorrow. Over the Amud will continue Be'ez Hashem all the way to Chof Ches Amud Aleph starting tomorrow Be'ez Hashem.
Rebbe, isn't there an Indian in Brachos about that the children inherit are responsible for the father's sins and things like that? Isn't there a whole thing like that?
That's this. We'll see. There's a whole braisa. Keep going. Gemara's about to bring a braisa which backs us all up. We'll see him in session.
It's in Gemara Brachos though, right?
I don't remember if it's Brachos, but we're here. We'll see in the Hemshah in session.